just by looking at the world around us and the way nature works. For one, when you really study nature, the solar system and all, and the complexity of life, you have to come to the conclusion that somebody designed it. You look at creation, and the complexity of it, the order of it, proves that there's a creator. It says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And then if you look at nature, you find this indisputable law of sowing and reaping. And the basic idea is that what you sow, you reap, right? So if you plant carrots, you don't get green chilies. You get carrots. Things produce after their own kind. Well, there's a spiritual law of sowing and reaping. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And then, of course, you remember Jesus told that parable of the sower sowing seed, the seed that falls on four different kinds of soils. And he made a practical spiritual lesson from something that you can see in nature. Well, in John chapter 12, Jesus gives us a lesson from nature that I think is incredibly appropriate for what brings us together here on Good Friday. As Jesus was headed towards Jerusalem, knowing what he was about to face, heading into Passion Week, he told his disciples in John chapter 12, verse 23, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Now that is a very interesting take on the agricultural process. You know, if you got a seed in your hand, you can choose to do nothing with it and then it's alone and it won't become fruitful. Or you can take that seed, you can dig a hole, you can put that seed in the hole, you can bury it, you can cover it with dirt, and there will be a harvest from that seed. And in a sense, that seed dies. That original seed dies, yet the seed's death is actually the germination of life for a great crop. Jesus is basically saying, life comes through the death of the seed. Spiritual fruit, a harvest of souls, comes through the death of the seed. There will be no fruit, there will be no harvest apart from the death and burial of the seed. Interesting way to look at agriculture, huh? You know, if you go out and drive around down here, you'll go by cornfields. And they turn those into mazes every October, right? We walk through those. Well, whenever you drive past a cornfield, you could look out at all those stalks and stalks of corn and you could say, see what a large cemetery that field is. For at the foot of every stalk of corn is a tiny little grave. The seeds died, giving way to a beautiful harvest. Jesus is applying that to what he's about to do in Jerusalem. Jesus is headed to the cross. And he is basically saying, if I don't die, there won't be a harvest. If I don't die, I will be alone. And basically, if Christ hadn't have died, he would have gone to heaven and been there all by himself. But if I do die, there is going to be a massive multiplication of eternal life. Thousands and thousands and thousands of souls will be saved. Heaven will be filled. And here he is, basically on the way to the cross, and he's basically saying, if I don't die, you won't live. If I do die, you're going to live. There'll be a harvest. And folks, that is what the Christian faith teaches. That's what really the whole Bible is about. There is no way for us to be saved other than by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have all been born into this world as sinners. Our sins have separated us from a holy God. He's perfect. No sin can be tolerated. The penalty for sin is death, condemnation. We can't be in the presence of God. Our sins need to be taken away. How can our sins be taken away? God came up with the solution. He sent His perfect Son, the Lamb of God, spotless, without sin, who went to the cross. And the Scripture says He went specifically to the cross to take our sins upon Him. He became sin that we might become righteousness. And because of His death and because of His sacrifice, we can be saved. His blood can wipe away every single one of your sins, past, present, future. And let it be known on this Good Friday that Jesus voluntarily offered Himself for you and I. He didn't have to. But He went to the cross. It says there, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, that kind of sounds like it would be a random thing. And I guess in nature, seed can randomly fall and things grow. But most likely, when farmers plant seed, it's thought out, isn't it? It's really planned out. You work the ground, you dig the trench, you put the seed in. It's all planned. And let it be known, your salvation was planned. Jesus came to this earth specifically to die, to be buried, so that you and I could be forgiven. And that's what we've gathered here to remember. In Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, there's a grave of a Civil War soldier, and the stone bears the date of his birth and death. And then these words are on the gravestone: Abraham Lincoln's substitute. In the woe and anguish of the war, realizing that thousands upon thousands were fallen in his place on the field of battle, Lincoln chose to honor one particular soldier as his substitute and made him a symbol, as it were, of the fact that soldiers who perished in battle were dying that others might live. Jesus did that for us on an eternal stake. We are at a gravestone. Jesus paid the price for us. And really, when we partake of communion, it's remembering that sacrifice. Now listen, after Good Friday came Sunday. Amen? On the third day, He arose. Christ defeated death. Christ is risen victoriously. And I believe that Jesus Christ is right here amongst His people, right here in our very presence. The living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And He died that there would be a spiritual harvest of souls. But listen, He won't force you to join the harvest. He has died, He has paid the price. But you and I must receive His gift. We must receive Him in order to become saved. It says in John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." So Christ has paid the price. Once and for all, it's done. And now the offer goes out. Those who receive him will become children of God. I ask you, before we partake of these elements, are you a part of his bountiful harvest? Have you received Christ? Have you asked him to be your Savior? If you haven't, in a few moments, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. How do you receive Christ? Through a prayer. Ask him, say, "Lord, I put my faith in you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I admit I'm a sinner." Invite him into your life. He will forgive you. All your sins will be washed away. Now, Jesus also applied this principle of a seed dying to Christians. And check what else he says after this. Verse 25, "He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." As Christians here this morning, as those who have received Christ, understand that the dying seed principle applies to our lives. You know what we're called to do as Christians? Die. We are called to die to ourselves and live for whom? For Christ. That is, as Christians, we should be fully surrendered. I like to think of it as giving God a blank check that represents your life. And say, "God, here's my life. Spend it any way you want." Totally surrendered. That's something that can be very difficult for us to do. We think, oh no, it's going to be really hard and we're going to have to give up all this stuff. But understand this, after the death of the seed comes a bountiful harvest. Fruit. God will make your life even more fruitful. He will bless you abundantly. And he will use you to bring the gospel message to others. So maybe we're here this morning, this afternoon, as Christians, and this needs to be a milestone moment for Christians. Maybe you've walked with the Lord many years, maybe you've been saved for many years, but you can honestly say that you've never died to yourself. You've never moved over and said, "Jesus, drive." Perhaps at this Good Friday service, as we remember what he did for us, we'll be willing to fully surrender to him and let him make us fruitful and use us. Amen. So, we're going to have the guys come up, some guys come up, and we are going to distribute these elements. I'm going to ask that all of you would hold these elements. We'll all partake of them together. Three things before we do this. Most important. Have you received Christ? Have you opened your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you partaken of him? The taking of these elements is symbolic. These elements represent the broken body and shed blood of Christ. This is the way Christians are to remember. This is for Christians. This is for those who have been born again. Have you been born again? You receive Christ through a prayer, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. But that's first thing. We need to settle that once and for all right now in your life. Secondly, then, as we take this and hold that, those elements, worship Jesus. marvel at what he's done. Consider what he's done. And then third, Christian, it would be a great moment, if you haven't already, to surrender yourself to him fully as you remember all that he's done for you. So let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that nothing happens by accident or chance. Every single person is here for a reason. God has brought us all here. And perhaps the Lord has brought you here to absolutely save your life and change your life forever. If you have never received Christ, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. Understand that you are talking to the living Lord. And just in the quietness of your heart, cry out to him with this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Right now, I invite you to come into my heart to wash all my sins away. I place my faith in you right now. If you prayed that prayer, then you partake freely with us as we distribute these elements. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice. We worship you.